We're back on KCRW's Good Food. I'm Evan Kleinman. Now for a new restaurant review from LA Times critic Patricia Escarcega. Let's talk about Cola Pasta, which is in San Monica.
That's right. So Cola Pasta is a small kind of, I would call it a fast casual pasta place. It's a small space and it is sit down. You know, you can have a nice dinner there. When I reviewed it a couple of weeks ago, they were still in the process of getting their beer and wine license. But from what I understand from the owners, that's imminent any day now. So eventually you'll be able to sit and enjoy a glass of wine. But right now it's a very casual, small restaurant. I believe the space used to be a coffee shop. So that gives you a little idea. It's kind of a smaller space in downtown Santa Monica. And you can do takeout pasta as well. So there's that option if you're really craving fresh pasta.
Who is the person who's making the pasta?
Yeah, so the pasta maker is Stefano De Lorenzo. And if you've been dining out in Santa Monica for the last couple of decades and you love Italian food, you'll definitely recognize him. He's had a few restaurants in town. He had a small kind of white tablecloth space called Piccolo. He had La Botte, which was a Michelin-starred restaurant. And so with Cola Pasta, he's kind of paring things down and getting back to basics.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch a chef have the opportunity to reset the way they present their food. It says a lot about the business, too.
Yeah, it shows what they're really interested in doing. His menu is very small. He has about a half dozen pastas going on at any given time. So he plans on rotating them seasonally. When I was there, he had, I think I start off the piece with saying, I've become mildly obsessed with this casuncieri. It's a beautiful half moon ravioli, kind of looks like a little dumpling, and it's filled with beets. So it has this beautiful kind of ripe berry, dark purple tone to it. And what I really love about this pasta and why I kept going back to order more, you take a bite of the pasta and you get a crunch of, he has brown butter, and then you have the earthiness of the beets, and then you have the kicker are the tiny poppy seeds. So you get a little softness followed by crunch, sweetness followed by intense savoriness. It's such a simple pasta, but at the same time, you get so much mileage out of those flavors.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting pasta because, I mean, it's a very traditional regional pasta, but for years, you would never be able to sell it because of beets. And now we're in a world where people just adore beets. So it's wonderful to see them in this iteration. What else did you enjoy when you went?
One of his best sellers is his lasagna. I interviewed him and he talked a lot about how he likes to end the day in his kitchen baking lasagnas that he's going to sell for the following day's service. And it was just a really nice moment where he meditated on rolling out the dough. He loves his pasta sheet maker. He calls it his third child. And so it's a really simple pasta, but it's obviously very time consuming. It's a lot of very delicate layers, and then they're kind of saturated with bechamel. He has a really nice ragu, and it's simple, but it, like, the flavors really sing, and it just brings you back to, you know, being home and that feeling of comfort that, you know, we, a lot of us who are obsessed with pasta, are looking for when we're looking for a good piece of lasagna.
You say in the piece that you ordered it and you immediately ordered it again.
That's right. If he hasn't sold out, I highly recommend that strategy. The pieces are modest in size, which is good. You know, you don't want a big hulking piece. You want to leave room for some of the other pastas. But yeah, I did. I ordered a couple of slices.
Is it purely a pasta restaurant or are there other things to enjoy?
It's definitely a pasta-centric restaurant. He has a very small menu of antipasti, but it's very satisfying. He's got a burrata. He does a really good market salad. I don't really mention it much in the review, but he's very much a market-driven chef. So you'll find a lot of seasonal greens when you go in there. But mostly, I would say you definitely want to come here if you're in the mood to eat pasta.
And are we talking about a big bill we're going to get at the end?
No. So one of the more interesting aspects of the restaurant is Chef Stefano is very adamant about wanting to make the fresh pasta experience as accessible as he can for everyone. As we know, Italian food can be quite expensive, you know, if you do a fine dining restaurant. But nothing on the menu is more than $15. So I believe the lasagna, I can look it up here, but yeah, I think it's $14. So it's very reasonable. I think he does a lot of takeout business because of that, especially if you live in the neighborhood. You can get fresh pasta that he made that day and take it home and enjoy it for dinner and not have to, you know, go home with a big bloated bill from a sit-down restaurant.
And all those thin layers means that maybe you won't be too bloated from the pasta either.
That's right, unless you do what I did and order more than one slice.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
That was Patricia Scarsaga, restaurant critic for the LA Times. We've been talking about Cola Pasta in Santa Monica. Before we go, I wanted to let you know about an event celebrating a truly unique artist and cookbook author. This coming Tuesday, October 29th, I'll be part of a dinner salon focused on Dorothy Iannone. Here with a preview is Manuela chef Chris Tominaga. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Evan. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's so great to have you on. It's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
Right now, you're the chef of Manuela, which is located at the Hauser & Wirth Gallery in Downtown Arts District. Talk to me a bit about these dinner salons that you've been hosting over the past year.
So the dinner salons is something that we started last year, and it's kind of a quarterly event where we want to bring together creative thinkers and have somewhat of an intellectual discussion over a meal that they usually kind of make cater to whatever that discussion is.
So this particular one focused on Dorothy Iannone, whose work is a bit difficult to describe. How would you describe it?
I mean, in terms of the book, I think it's amazing. It's one of those, it's a book I've never picked up before, and I have a ton of cookbooks. It's an interesting event because it's kind of a connection of what we try to do, which is connecting food and art, and it really does that. And she has this cookbook. It was handwritten by her, and it's got her paintings and drawings and kind of little blurbs, and it's really interesting because the food itself is really great. It's right up my alley. It kind of reminds me of Paula Wolfert if she was a little bit edgier. It's feminist in approach, and it's really vivid and bright.
Yeah, it really fascinated me to get the book in preparation for my involvement with the event because it reminded me so much of some of my more artistic friends' diaries, where during this era, the book came out originally in 1969, women were focused on exploring their bodies in a different way that was unfettered from shame. And so the book is this incredible visual representation of the burgeoning feminist movement of the time with recipes.
Exactly. And it really is. I mean, it's beautiful in the colors and that it's so hand done. But I mean, it's also so relevant, not just in the food and the art, but the statements too.
Now, you'll be serving a special family-style menu from the cookbook. What are a couple of the dishes that you pulled that you're going to serve?
So some of the dishes is kind of what she had said were some of her favorite dishes. We're going to be doing her chicken and liver pate. We're going to be doing her trout meunier, Tunisian couscous, and what she says is her favorite dessert, the zoube anglaise.
And there's a Greek appetizer that you're including as well.
There is, the tchigiki.
And what is that?
You know, I've tried to do some research on what tchigiki is, and just through reading the description, it really is kind of a tzatziki, you know, yogurt and cucumbers, and we're going to be doing it with accompanying accoutrement. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out if it's just a different ratio in tchigiki or if it's, I think it's, you know, a lot of the Greek characters don't necessarily translate directly to English. So through talking to a Greek friend, they said it's most likely just a different take on tzatziki.
So interesting. I love that you're doing this, and I'm really looking forward to the evening.
It should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Aside from the meal, I'll be in a conversation with artist Ben Kinmont and curator Laura Fried. I think it's going to be a really dynamic event, and I'm so looking forward to seeing you there.
Well, me too.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Definitely. I've been talking with Chef Chris Tominaga Manuela in downtown LA's Arts District. On Tuesday, October 29th, they'll be hosting their fifth salon in the restaurant's garden, focusing on the new reprint of Dorothy Iannone's cookbook. Tickets are $60. They include a welcome beverage, conversation, and family-style meal with a glass of wine. And me. Find a link at kcrw.com/goodfood. That's it for our show this week. In case you missed any of it, listen on our website or on KCRW's mobile app. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And as always, leave us a review if you liked what you heard. My eternal thanks to the Good Food team. They are Nick Liao, Laurel Garcia, Joseph Stone, Chuck Previtary, and Ronnie Mickelson. I am Evan Kleiman, and I will be back next week with more Good Food.